Morning, my brothers and sisters. Usually, a word of exhortation is to help to lift up the brethren and sisters. I'm going to be selfish this morning, and the word of exhortation that I'm going to give is to me. If you get something out of it, well, I'm good. But primarily, the exhortation is to me. I stood quite near the judgment seat, head bowed in bitter shame. And within my head, words echoed loud, I had myself to blame. I saw the king, and standing there, beheld his glorious face. And at his right hand, in joy supreme, the saints he came to save. Engulfed in grief, alone, afraid, would I now plead in vain? The words we echoed louder now, so real within my brain. He was the one who'd gone before, the one I'd longed to see, said angel serving near the throne, the Master calleth thee. To give account things done and said, the reason I was asked, why I neglect the things of God, and often passed them by. I then recalled how oft I said, today I have no time. I'll do it, yes, another day. And that had been my crime. How could I answer full of guilt? But Jesus knew and said, no time to do the things of God. No time to bow your head. No time to kneel in daily prayer or wait for him who heard. No time to pause and meditate the riches of his word. No time to visit sick and poor. No time to write and give the stranger in the gate a word of hope that he might live. Yet you have time for other tasks and time to exercise the mental powers on other things and home to supervise. You have plenty of time to read and talk of things that mattered not, but things that mattered most to God you simply just forgot. That was enough. I heard no more. Though words continued long, my talent lay neglected there. To him it did belong. But I'd forgotten it was his and put it on one side. And now before the throne it lay, my face I tried to hide. The saints remained there on his right, of ones by sin bereft. But I was now among the ones upon the judge's left. Those words were still within my brain. Verdict on guilty crime. No place, no hope, no righteous crown. For you, I have no time. A dream, you say. Yes, but how real. And what relief to wake. I still had time to spend before the judgment break. For he, the Saviour, who was scorned, up Calvary's hill did climb. What shall I say when he shall ask, how did you spend your time? Yes, brothers and sisters, that may be a question that we get asked. How did we spend our time? What did we do when we had opportunity? If we look in Matthew chapter 20, we see there the parable of the vineyard, the workers in the vineyard. And you will find that Jesus, on a number of occasions, walked out into the marketplace and saw people standing there idle. And what did he say? He said to them, go and help your brothers and sisters in the vineyard. Go and work. Go and do the work of God. And he says, and I will pay you what is right. He didn't give them a specific number. He says, I will pay you what is right. And that is what our Master has said to us, to you and to me. Go into the vineyard and work. Go and do what is right. And I will pay you on the judgment seat and give you what is right. And we have to work in the Master's service. That is what we promise to do on the day of on the day of our baptism. We promise to go and work in this vineyard. And also we find, at the Jerusalem conference. Do you remember the Jerusalem conference found in Acts chapter 15? There was an issue that had come up in this ecclesia, and they had a problem with it. And what they wanted to do was find out how to go ahead. One thing that we must remember is that each and every one of those people at that conference had the Holy Spirit gift. They'd been endowed with a Holy Spirit gift direct from God, and still they had problems. But what they did was they discussed it as an ecclesia. You first find that he was the elders that spoke, and it was Peter that spoke, and it was Barnabas that spoke, and it was Paul that spoke. And finally, after all that, James makes a decision. And we will find, if we go into it and have a look, that never again after that does this subject come up as an issue. It was discussed. They came to a conclusion. Not everybody agreed. Maybe not. But it had been come together as an ecclesia. And they then went along with what was decided. Brothers and sisters, each and every one of us here know and acknowledges that we are living in the shadow of the judgment seat. Right now, it could happen today. It could even happen before lunch. We are all standing in the shadow of the judgment seat. How real is that to you? Do we actually accept it as something that is the most important thing in our life? Or are we more worried about what we're going to have for lunch or for tea tonight? Do we live our life as though Christ died yesterday, he rose today, and he's coming tomorrow? And if we live our life in that way, then surely that is the way the Master wants us to live. If we are a bit doubtful about all this, then please let's go and have a look at John chapter 17 at your leisure. We won't read it now, but at your leisure, have a look at John 17. And on a number of occasions, five times in fact, Jesus prayed to the Father in earnestness. And what did he pray for? He prayed for unity in the brotherhood. He prayed so that they might be one, even as we are one. And he said this over and over again. Five times, in fact, he came to the Father and said, please, make them one, even as we are one. Because Jesus knew that very shortly he was not going to be with them anymore. And there was going to be squabbles. We are told also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there it speaks about the Holy Spirit gifts. And brothers and sisters, in the days when the Holy Spirit gifts were given on the earth, the gift was given in two different ways. We find that the gift was given either by direct outpouring from God or by the laying on of hands of the apostles. There was no other way. Now, when it was directly poured out from God, I believe that the person received all the gifts. But when it was passed on by the apostles, they received a gift as the Spirit saw fit. And the reason for that is, for the sake of argument, if it happened in this ecclesia, they laid their hands on each person individually, and you received a gift. But in order to make a gift complete, you had to work together. You couldn't do it alone. You had to work together. And that is why each person only received that gift until man came along and started arguing amongst themselves who had the greatest gift. That's never what God intended at all. Now, God doesn't always give us a roadmap on what we should do. He sometimes gives us an inkling, And then we have to work it out for ourselves. And it's how we work it out that is what God looks at. Let me give you an example. In Acts chapter 18, verses 9 to 11, you can have a look at that. You will see that Paul is spoken to by the Spirit there. And he says, and it says there, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And then you notice that God gives him a list here, and he says, "Here's the paper with all the names and addresses of the people that have got in this city." And does he? Of course not. He doesn't say, he doesn't give him any inclination where these people. He says, "I have many people in this city." He doesn't tell them. Well, by many, I mean 100. So Paul at no stage, A, knows where these people are, and B, how many the people is. So at no stage can he say, "Well, I have found the many people. I can now stop." You see, so therefore you are required to preach. You don't know if your next door neighbour, if the person down the road, doesn't matter. You don't know if that is one of the many people that God has got earmarked to come. I want to have recite to you a small story, and I dare say you might have heard this one before, but it fits in beautifully with this whoever the brother was that brought it up. I'm sure he'll understand. And this is a story taken. Actually, it's taken from Elspeth's homeland in the northern hemisphere, where it is cold and ice and snow, and it's even colder than in Pateria. And it's about two brethren. It's about Brother Smith and Brother Jones. And they, not only were they brethren, they also were the greatest of friends. And one day, Brother Jones got it into his head, and he thought, I don't really, he had to travel a long distance to go to the meeting, and it was snowing and it was cold, and I can have the meeting at home. What stops me having a meeting at home? I can do just as good at home. And then slowly he said, "Well, I can have Bible class at home. I can do this at home." And gradually he just stayed at home. He started off with the excuse because it was too cold to travel, and I can do it. And Brother Smith was very upset that his friend and brother had not been coming to the memorial meeting. And he didn't know how to approach him without upsetting him as well. So what he did one day, he went to the memorial meeting, and then straight after the meeting, he went around to Brother Jones's place. And Brother Jones was very pleased to see him, and invited him in, and there in the fireplace was a big fire, coals going. Not a word was spoken. He just walked in, and he sat by on a chair in front of the fire, and they enjoyed the warmth. And then after a while, Brother Smith got the fire tongs and picked up one of the coals off the fire and laid it on the hearth. And just sat back. Now that coal, glowing red, burning, but slowly the fire sort of started going out, and it turned black, and it was still very hot, but it started to die. And then they waited for quite a while, and then he picked the coal up again and he put it back in the fireplace. And instantly up it came. It was burning again. And Brother Smith said to Brother Jones, "You are that coal. While you were away from your brothers and sisters and not working together as an ecclesia, eventually your fire will die. You might have the very best of intentions that Everything is going to be all right. But sooner or later, that fire is going to die. And, you know, at the judgment seat, and this is a hypothesis on my part, I always have to have one of them. At the judgment seat, the Master could say to Brother Jones, "Look, Brother Jones, I have a project that I wanted your ecclesia to perform. I made sure that there was plenty of gifts available. You all had your gift to accomplish what I wanted. But you, and only you, went and hid your talent in the earth. And because your talent wasn't there to help them, the project failed. Why is that?" And Brother Jones will say, "Well, you know, I didn't agree with what the project that you had in mind. I didn't agree with it. I didn't think that it was what our ecclesia should be involved in. And I didn't think it would get off the ground. I thought it would actually fail from the word go. So that's why I hid the talent in the ground." And the Lord will say to the brother, "Did you not know that it was never about you at all? It was never about you at all. It was always about my Father in heaven." Brothers and sisters, that is what we've got to remember. It's not about us. It is us giving glory to our Heavenly Father. There's no project that an ecclesia can take on that everybody will agree with 100%. You can't. But as long as you work together as an ecclesia, that is what God wants. And if I was to ask you individually, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but if I was to ask you individually, do you believe that God hears and answers prayers? And I'm sure you'll all say yes, because that's why you're here. You know, you believe that. If your answer is yes, why would we pray for an ecclesial project, you know, and then say, not be 100% behind it? You know, we pray for it and then not be 100% behind. Do you remember, let me bring to you a notice, a prayer that was in Scripture, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine be done." He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross. But thy will be done. Brothers and sisters, not our will, but the Father's will. And before we close, I want to bring to your attention something that took me a while to register what was actually being said. The letters to the seven ecclesias in the book of Revelation. Now, the ecclesia in Sardis and they all had problems, except the two ecclesias, you know. They all had problems. And God and the Lord pointed them out one after the other. One had the spirit of Jezebel and the seat of Satan, etc., etc. But you will go a long way if you can find anywhere in Scripture where it says, you know, because that ecclesia down there is not good and they have sinners in amongst their lot, that you are to now separate from them and no longer have anything to do with them. Most remarkable, though, is the fact that out of the seven, there was only two ecclesias which were not reproved. Yet, there was not a word told to the other five that they must disassociate themselves. And more startling still, brothers and sisters, is that the seven stars, as is mentioned in Revelation, are the seven angels of the seven ecclesias. And they are where? They are in the Lord's right hand. not in his left hand, in his right hand. And he walks in the midst of all the seven lampstands, all the seven ecclesias, the ones that have problems and the ones that were right. He walks amongst the whole seven. And they are all one body, one ecclesia. And they are all trying to do things to the honour and glory of God. Brothers and sisters, let us try to do the same thing.